Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and this is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. Thanks for joining us online at kpcg.fm. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com. And all of the programming here on KPCG can also be found in podcast form. And you can find that at our websites, kpcg.fm, thetrumpet.com, and also any place that you like to get podcasts, such as iTunes, you can find us there. When Christ returns and sets up the kingdom of God on this earth, what will you be doing? What will your job be? Is there a specific job that you'll have? What jobs are you preparing for today? The Bible gives some really interesting specifics into what God's people will be doing when Christ returns. Now let's see the general overview. We'll look at a general overview of what God's people will be doing when Christ returns, and then we'll get a little more specific from there. We have a few passages to look at today. So if you have a Bible handy, it'd be great to get it out. We can look at these together and see what the Word of God has to say about very real and practical jobs that God's people are preparing for today. Let's look at Revelation 2 to begin. Revelation 2, and we'll look at verses 26 and 27. And again, we're getting a general overview of what God's people will be doing when Christ returns. Verse 26 of Revelation 2 says, "And he that overcomes," so we can just pause there for a moment. There are some specifics laid out here in terms of what God's people have to do today. Now, those that have been called and that God is working with, there are some specifics that have to be done. And, of course, God continues to call more and more people. He gives more people an opportunity to be called and to accept that calling, to repent and be baptized and to receive His Holy Spirit at baptism and the laying on of hands of His true ministry, and to begin this process of preparation for very real jobs in the kingdom of God. And so some of you listening to this program are well on your way into that process, and some maybe are just beginning. And maybe some, this is the first time you've heard this. So everyone's at a different stage in their calling and in their development. But there are jobs that God has for those that He's calling today. But there are things that have to be done by God's people. And it starts here by saying, "He that overcomes." So there's overcoming. "He that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end." So consistency, growing, staying with God, supporting His work unto the end. It says, "To him will I give power over the nations." So to qualify to have power over the nations, a person has to, of course, be called, but then overcome and keep my works unto the end, Christ said. "To him will I give power over the nations," and verse 27, "he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." So there's going to be some real power given. Power given to rule the nations, but, of course, that power can't be given out to anybody. It has to be given to people that are qualified to use it the right way. Abuse of power is something we see in this world all the time, in governments, in business, anywhere you look in society. Oftentimes, you'll see an abuse of power. God's kingdom is not that way. Power is given to those who are qualified to rule with it and to help people. And of course, there is government. And if there is rebellion, it will be put down with power, but it is done in love. And it's for the good of everyone. So this is definitely a different type of power that God will be ruling with. It'll be used in a much different way, and those that He gives that power to, He has to be sure that they're going to use it the right way. And so when we think about just that aspect of it, what about your life today? What about my life? We have power in certain areas, right? We have power to make decisions in our own lives. Maybe we have children, or maybe we have situations where we lead a team at work or something like that. Maybe we coach a sports team. There's certain levels of power that we might have. How do we use it? How do we use that power? God's taking note of it, seeing what we do with it. But we see the general overview here. We see that you will be ruling over the nations of this earth with power. That's a pretty awesome responsibility. And so that's a general overview, but now we can even narrow the focus more, and we can see more specifically what you'll be doing when Christ returns to this earth. And again, this is all based upon qualifying today. Notice this passage here in Luke 19. Luke 19, there's even more specifics given. Starting in verse 16, it says, "Then came the first, saying, 'Lord, your pound has gained 10 pounds. So we're breaking into the parable of the pounds here. And this is a picture of the kingdom, Christ returning, and seeing how people have grown. "The first came, saying, 'Lord, your pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, 'Well, you good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little, have you authority over 10 cities? We're not saved according to our works, but we are rewarded according to our works. There is a reward that's given. And this person here did a great job. They gained 10 pounds. They had 1 pound. Of course, we're talking about financial pounds here, money. They had a little bit to start with. And this is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And they gained more. They produced fruits of the Holy Spirit. And they qualified to then rule over 10 cities. Verse 18, "And the second came, saying, 'Lord, your pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be you also over 5 cities. So he didn't gain quite as much as the other, but still he did a really good job. 5 pounds, that's a good growth. And had rule over 5 cities. He's qualified to rule with power over 5 cities. And so we are qualifying. You are qualifying to rule over cities today. Have you ever been to a big city? I'm sure we all have at some point or passed through one. And what do you see? Well, you see, some things that are probably kind of nice, maybe some touristy areas. But then you also see things that need to be improved, changed, corrected. What if you were over that city and actually had the power to change things? How would you fix the cities that you see about you? Now, of course, cities will be built differently. They'll be built according to God's plan in terms of just every aspect of a city. But there'll have to be a change in the way that cities are ruled, the way they're planned, the way that they're administered, the way that the government over them is administered. There'll have to be some massive changes when it comes to God's civilization. How will you rule over a city? Well, it's a pretty good indication to look at your life today and see how you rule what you have power over. Even if you're a young person and you live at home with your parents and all you have power over, I guess, would be, say, maybe your spot in the house, your room. Do you keep it clean? Is it messy? Is it chaotic? We can look at these things in our lives and say, I need to make some changes here. I need to improve. And a lot of people, of course, do a good job with those things, and that's awesome. And then there's even more improvement that can be made. God's looking at us. He's seeing what we're qualifying to do, what the fruits of our lives are, and how we'll rule over these cities. We're qualifying today to rule with power and rule the right way. And here it says over cities. The Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course, it's free at thetrumpet.com, and it's a wonderful course. Going through that really opens up the Bible in terms of putting all of the pieces together. Mr. Armstrong described it as a puzzle. The pieces need to be put together. His book, Mystery of the Ages, really does that. And the Correspondence Course does that as well. It helps take all those different pieces and put them together in a way that you can begin to really study into it and understand it more. And so please get that course. That's at thetrumpet.com, and it's free. And it says this, it says, "The Bible plainly shows that those who will be born into God's family at the first resurrection, which includes all spirit-begotten saints of God through the centuries," so these are the people that God has called and worked with, of course God has to call, it says, "will rule this earth's mortals under Jesus Christ." So the kingdom of God will be established to rule over this earth. Now the earth will still have human beings, but it will be ruled by the spirit kingdom of God. But ruling over these cities and over these nations, those are jobs that are given to God's spirit-born people at that time, born into his family as actual God beings. But we have to be careful here when we think about this. Don't think that ruling means to push people around like some sort of modern dictator would do. That's not what rulership is about. There's a major difference between godly rulers and the rulers of this world today. There's a massive difference. And this difference is explained very specifically by Jesus Christ. Now, we don't have to guess on what the difference is. We'll let Christ tell us. Notice this in Mark 10, verses 42 through 45. And it's so important to understand what Christ said here, because today there's a real anti-government and anti-law sentiment in society. If somebody has rulership or power, people tend to think, oh, they're a bad guy or a bad girl, I guess. They're just lording it over people. And in some cases, that might be true. But that's not the way rulership is in the kingdom of God. And we shouldn't want a rulership position to lord it over people. Christ shows us what we do with power. Notice Mark 10, verses 42 through 45. It says, "But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, You know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you." So be different here. It says, "But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." A different attitude here, an attitude of service. The idea of rulership here is not one of thinking, oh, wow, what can I get for myself? What can I take? It's the opposite. It's, well, what can I give to others? I have the opportunity here to give and to help and to serve. And that's what Christ did. He sacrificed his life. He came and he was the sacrifice. He gave his life a ransom for many, and he set the perfect example for us in doing that. The correspondence course says, "Those occupying positions of rulership in the world tomorrow will be servants, having opportunity to do great good in truly serving mankind by governing God's way." They're going to be servants. They're going to do great good. Now, if there's power, they will rule, of course. You will rule. You're not going to be pushed around either. But at the same time, the government of God will rule everyone. The law of God will be followed by everyone. And it will be for everyone's good. And so we have to think about this today. Again, we're training today. We're qualifying today. And if we're half-hearted or indifferent to preparing to be a ruler for God, then really that's just selfishness. You know, some people can say, "Well, I don't want to be a ruler. No, no, not me. Nope." And think maybe that's a sort of a righteous attitude to have, that no, I don't want that. Let someone else be the ruler. But that's selfishness. God's called all of us to be rulers. You know, we're not all going to be the top ruler, obviously. That's God the Father and then Jesus Christ. And he has a whole government system, and we'll fit in there wherever, you know, we're called and we qualify to fit in, wherever we're put in the body today. And then in the future, there'll be those positions that are perfect for us. But we are called to be rulers and to not help people, to not want to step out and be a help is selfish. So we don't want to be caught up in that type of an attitude. Don't be half-hearted or indifferent in the preparations of this time that we're in. You know, it's easy to, I guess, sort of put the kingdom of God off way down the road and say, well, you know, that's down the road. I'll think about that later. Well, we only have so much time in this life. And you can look at world events and biblical prophecy, and you know that the return of Christ is drawing closer. But even for our physical lives, none of us know how long we'll live. We don't know how long we have to qualify for these positions. So we want to make the most of the time we have. Make the most of today. Don't be half-hearted or indifferent in our preparation. Preparing to rule in God's kingdom means preparing to help and serve others. That's what we're preparing for. Satan's society is built on get, on serving the self. So that's the motivation of society in general. And so we don't want to be caught up in that, but on giving to others. Successful parents, they have to serve their children and sacrifice for them. You know, maybe you have been in that situation or are in that situation. You know that it takes sacrifice. It takes service. Now, again, the parent's in charge if the government structure is right. But it's to help the children. God's law shows that parents have authority over their children. And the children must obey their parents and honor them. And in the same way, we must honor God and respect His authority and obey Him. But God the Father and Christ, in turn, do all they can to help us and serve us in every way. It's mutually beneficial for everyone. God's way is a virtuous cycle where everyone helps each other. There's a definite government structure to it, of course. But everyone is benefited by it. Everyone is benefited by it. In God's kingdom, people will respect your authority. If God gives you authority and He gives you power, it will be respected. But you're going to do all that you can to help those that you're ruling over and use that power to serve them and to help them. That's what your power is going to be used for. And so should you want to have as much power as you can handle? Absolutely, because then you can help more people. The more power you have, the more that you can help people in the kingdom of God. The more that you qualify to rule, the greater help you can be for other people. And so we want to make sure that we're doing all that we can to draw close to God and to really let Him mold us and shape us and direct us in whatever way He sees fit today. You know, we can't go out there and, you know, say, well, I'm going to do this and do that and do the other, you know, without God directing it. We have to have God's direction. But he'll build us and mold us and shape us as much as we're willing to let Him do that. And in so doing, we'll be able to be used and have power and be given power to rule, to help, and to serve others. The Correspondence Corps says, yes, they will have the power to stabilize the world. Talking about you, talking about God's people, those that God calls today and embrace this calling. They will have power to stabilize the world and enforce peace when necessary. That power has to be used sometimes to enforce peace. You've probably had to do that if you're a parent, right? Sometimes you have to enforce peace, but it's necessary. It has to be done the right way. It says that will be especially needed at the beginning of the millennium. They will also have the compassion required to help the survivors of the Great Tribulation. And if you don't know too much about the Great Tribulation, there's a lot in the Bible about that, of course. But you can understand more about it by going and searching that on thetrumpet.com. There's a lot of great write-ups that explain that Great Tribulation that the Bible talks about. People will be coming out of that, survivors, and they're going to be needing a lot of help. You know, people came out of World War I, World War II. They needed help. This is going to be even greater war than that. Christ said in Matthew 24, it's, you know, like, nothing that's happened before or will happen again. I mean, this great tribulation. And they're going to need help. They're going to need people, it says, to heal them, to teach them the causes of the evils of the world they lived in, and teach them God's way to peace, happiness, and salvation. See, they're going to need very qualified teachers to help them, competent teachers, qualified teachers to help them. And that's what we have to be qualifying for today. Notice another passage, Revelation 1 and verse 6. This is another component of the role that you are qualifying for today as God works through you and calls you. Revelation 1 and verse 6, it says, and has made us, talking about God's converted people, and has made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. kings and priests. See, that's the job that you're qualifying for, to be a king and a priest. So you'll rule as a king under the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, but also a priest. There's a dual job. What will you do as a priest? What will your job be? Well, we can see this in Malachi 2. Let's look at one last passage here. Malachi 2 and verse 7. Again, looking at some very specific biblical instruction about the jobs that you're qualifying for, that God's people are qualifying for. Malachi 2 and verse 7. It says, "For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth." This is a big part of being a priest. It is guarding the truth of God and teaching it. The priest's lips should keep knowledge. They're going to keep it. Make sure that the truth of God is being taught, that it's being lived by, that people are keeping the holy days or keeping the weekly Sabbath, that they're understanding the law of God and that they're not deviating from it. That can be a challenge. It takes certainly an understanding of God's law, and it takes an understanding of how to apply it and being able to teach people to do that. That is how the problems in your cities will be dealt with. Remember, rulership over cities? Well, what if there's a problem in one of your cities? What if you have 10 cities and 9 of them are going pretty well, but, well, one of them, there's a little bit of trouble over there. Something's not quite right. Remember, you'll be ruling over mortal humans. They're going to make some mistakes. So what will you do? Go into that city and say, okay, well, let's stop the problem. And now we need to educate. Educate the people. What are we going to educate them with? How are we going to solve the problem? Well, it's going to be by enforcing the loving law of God. We just read the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and that's what you'll have to do, is go into that city and say, well, here's how we'll fix the problem. Here's why this occurred, and here's how we're going to fix it. The correspondence course says, just as ancient Israel's priests taught God's way, spirit-born members of God's family will also be teachers of God's way of life, helping to eventually bring the knowledge of the way to salvation to everyone in the world tomorrow. Christ and the governing kingdom of God, then set up as the governing family, will bring about the coming utopia by two basic courses of action. So people always want a utopia, right? They want things to be perfect, want things to be great. Well, that will come about, but there's two courses of action, it says here. Number one, all crime and organized rebellion will be put down by force, divine supernatural force. And number two, Christ will then set his hand to re-educate and to save or spiritually convert the world. Problems will be put down. If there's law-breaking going on, it will be put down by supernatural force. There won't be a big debate about it and, you know, people questioning this, that, or the other, like you see today every time someone tries to enforce the law, even in a city. It'll be put down. Rebellion will be put down immediately. And then people will be educated on why that was wrong, the negative results of it, and then the opposite direction to go in, and the positive. Okay, so how do we, you know, avoid these problems? And let beyond just avoiding the problems, and how do we develop and grow to where we can bring blessings into this city and into these families? Education. It's going to be different. And it's going to be wonderful, and it's going to bring about a utopia. The correspondence course continues and says, true Christians today, and really stop and think about this quote, because this is something maybe to ask yourself and something for me to consider for myself. True Christians today should have a burning desire to live God's way of life as an example to the entire world today. I mean, you have people that know you in your community or in your school or in your job or wherever you go. What do they think? You know, do they think, oh, that's that person, something different about them, you know, the way they live? They seem to be happy and joyful and pretty and just balanced and even keel. And they just seem to make good decisions. I mean, is that what people think? They should. It says, true Christians today should have a burning desire to live God's way of life as an example to the entire world today and to teach God's wonderful way to peace joy and abundance when Christ returns to set up the kingdom of God, and they are born of God. So today's not the day where, you know, you go out and teach your neighbor or that type of thing. And today, God's people, their job is to support his work and to support the message going out in the way that God deems necessary today. But in the future, that's when everyone will be taught and everyone will need teachers. It says, but to qualify. So if you want to be there and be part of this, and I think everyone does, but to qualify, to be properly trained, to serve and teach in the world tomorrow, true Christians must learn to serve and teach now. True Christians must learn to serve and teach now. This is the day of training. This is the time. For those that God has called today, this is the day to train and to prepare and to produce fruits. God, it says, hasn't selected certain ones today for special favors. He has called them for a special purpose, a tremendous job to do. God doesn't call everybody. He only calls a few today. And it's not for special favors or because he likes them better. It's actually a difficult life a lot of times, and a struggle, and there are challenges and trials. But they're being called for a special purpose, to help teach the whole world when Christ returns, to help rule those cities. Somebody has to rule those cities, and it's going to be those that have qualified to do it. You know, why not be one of those that's qualified to rule as many cities as possible? Not to brag about it or show off or something like that, but to help as many as possible. Today's that day for those that God has called. Today's that day to prepare to rule those cities. Prepare to rule with power and use power the right way. And then when Christ returns, he can say, wow, you did a great job. You know, be ruler over 10 cities. Could it be more than that? I don't know. It could be. Maybe it could be 100. I'm not sure. But there are definitely going to be cities. There are going to be positions of rulership, eternal positions of rulership. And we want to be qualifying to help as much as we possibly can, and qualify to do that by living God's way of life today, living by every word and striving to do that. That's all the time we have for today on this edition, this episode of Live by Every Word. And if you've missed any past episodes, you can find those at kpcg.fm or thetrumpet.com. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.